anointing. I've been praying for that. Amen. It needs some anointing. You might have heard this before. If you're not 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. Lateness. I don't know if any of y'all heard this before. Go back to the office and get a tardy slip. You're late. You might have heard, you're always late. You're too late. Maybe you even heard you're never late. Maybe you heard it's later than you think. My dad told the story of a man that missed the train. He said, "I just didn't run fast enough." They said, "No, you didn't get started soon enough." Well, in 1986, Charlotte and I made our first trip to Europe. We went to the Billy Graham Conference for Itinerant Evangelists. We had a wonderful 10 days there, people from all over the world. They had a better system of translation than we do this morning, but we're working on it. They had booths everywhere for all these different languages, and you'd come in and you'd get your little receiver and you'd go sit down and everybody heard everything. It was a wonderful time of seeing the kingdom of God at work. At this time, we had Dr. Landry was alive and working with us, and he had been over there for 3 years, and he had left a car. He said, "Joe, if you want to tour Europe, well, you can just ask those people to let you drive my car." So they brought us the car. And that morning, we took off from Amsterdam, and we thought we could read German signs, but we couldn't. We went all through Germany. It's hard to say where's the bathroom if you don't know it. I've learned later, you know, but Switzerland, cut through France, could not find French fries. They don't have those there. They call them something else, pommes frites or something like that. And Belgium and back into Rotterdam. We were scheduled to go and preach in England, and we had a ferry that we were going to get the car on and go across. We drove up there, and we were 5 hours early. And I said to Charlotte, "You know, we've seen The Hiding Place. Let's go and find Corrie ten Boom's house. And let's see that shop, that clock shop that's there, and so on. Let's go." My precious wife said, "What if the car breaks down?" I said, "Charlotte, don't worry. The car's not going to break down." So we take off. And yes, we found it. We took pictures in front of the clock shop. It's still there. The people didn't even know the story of The Hiding Place. They didn't even know why we were taking the picture. And so we started back towards the ferry. And all of a sudden, I was in traffic, backed way up, and I looked down, and that temperature gauge was on hot. I said, "I've got to do something." Well, here I was in a foreign country, but I cut through lanes and crossed things, and you should never do that. You should stop, but I couldn't stop. I went down, and all of a sudden, I came upon this station, and I came in, and the man came out, and I couldn't speak Dutch, and I said, this, you know, and use everything you can, and the hood was up, and the motor was hot, and he was shaking his head, and all of a sudden, you know, God is so good. I believe it's called supernatural scheduling. This couple, elderly couple, comes by, and they're walking by, and all of a sudden, in English, I heard them, "Let's help these people." So they come over, and they are there, and they're having talking to the man, and he says, "It's your water pump." And does he have one? No, but the place right behind us, it's all part of the same complex, is a repair shop. I said, I've got to get to England. And they said, "Can you take it? I'll come back and get it." And we did all this translation and everything. And they told us we had 1 minute to get on the train that would take us to Rotterdam. So we go up, and they said, "The first train that comes, get on." So we did. And then we found out from talking to the pastors that it was not the Rotterdam train. And so I grabbed the money back, and we came back, and then they said this one, and I didn't have time. They said, you can pay on board. And so we take off, and we're asking the people, and we're a terrible sight. They laughed at us. Americans are so crazy when they travel. We had hanging bags. We had everything with us. We didn't want to leave it in the car. We were afraid they'd steal it. And so we had all of this stuff. We get on this train, and the people start laughing at us, you know, for having all this luggage. We're out of breath and everything. And then Charlotte says something about, "Is this Rotterdam?" They said, "Rotterdam? No, not Rotterdam. I said, get off. And so we finally get on that other train. We get down there, and the boat is about to leave, and we finally get on there. We are so tired. And we spend our time not with a car. We had to take a train and had to learn how to do all of that and speak British English and say lovely. And so we finally get there and we preach and they take a little offering. And then they say, well, you know, you've got 3 hours to get back. It was not 3 hours. All of a sudden, I realized that I said to the driver, I said, I see those signs and they're in miles, not kilometers. And I know. And so he sped up to 100 miles an hour. And we finally get back and it's all closed up. They've closed all the pastures on the boat and everything. And we said, please, we've got, oh, no, you can come tonight. You can come back tonight. It'll go in the night train. It won't work. It won't work with my schedule. And so finally, we convinced someone to do something for us. Everything's closed up, all the immigration, everything's over. And this little man, I believe he was an angel, he comes up, he says, just give me your passport and run. And we go, and all of a sudden, I don't know where all we went. I don't even know when we got on the boat, but he says, you're on the boat. Just talk to the steward and tell him you're here. So we were a stowaway on the train. They said, that's a big fine in England. We were a stowaway on the boat, but we did pay. But finally, I look, and there's moving outside, and we got there. So listen to your wife, man. And don't be late. Don't be late. We finally got back on there, and we were so exhausted, and I had a little bit of English pounds. I didn't know how much it was, but they had a buffet, and we get there, and we eat for about 3 hours going back, and we get restored. God is good. This morning, I was looking at my regular morning reading. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. You know, as I looked at that this morning, I was reading from a Jewish Old Testament Bible that I have, and it said something about, look at my signature, it matches, or something like that, you know. Don't you love the Word of God? Do you really realize this is the inspired Word of God? Don't buy the lie that says, well, it was written by men. Listen, when you look at these things and you realize they did not have computers, they did not have iPads, they had a little quill or something that that they were writing on a scroll. They had to do a lot of work, but God gave this word to us. And every scripture is inspired. Every scripture is important. There are messages in every verse that every preacher here could preach on. And I want you to receive the word of God this morning. I was led this week to Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. And we're going to take this story, this narrative, as a text, and then we're going to compare it with other texts for the principles that God has to impart to us this morning. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? Let me pause there for a moment and ask you, do you have the fear of God in your life? This was what brought this man at the last minute, when it was not too late for him, to repentance, is that somehow he saw Jesus and he received the fear of God. He said to the other one, do you not even fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation? And we, speaking of he and the other person on the cross, we receive the due reward. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. There was a revelation there quickly, as they were both in pain, all three of them in pain, that we've done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, this is the one, Lord, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Then he said Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Look at the faith, the belief that was there until you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, look at this dialogue. Men standing up, nailed to crosses. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Brother Robert started this morning with us saying, for his mercy endures forever. We sang Amazing Grace. It was only by God's mercy and his grace that this man could be saved and go to be with the Lord at the last minute. How precious is the love of God. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Carla Faye Tucker was a powerful believer. She was one of our very precious friends that was on death row at the Gatesville Mountain View unit. We would go and see her and visit her. And she said, well, I know that Jesus could get me off that gurney. But if he doesn't, when I close my eyes, I will open them and see Jesus. And she was executed, wrongly in my opinion, she was executed singing praises to God. Like John Huss. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Here was they were both just yards away from hell. Seconds away from hell. And one said yes to the Lord, and the other blasphemed him and went to hell and is still burning today. Crucified between two thieves, Jesus, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The dying criminal blaspheming Jesus. It was foolishness to him. He saw nothing in it. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I thank God for my history. I thank God for the things they've done in the past. Started out in Tyler downtown square, coffee house, going out and witnessing to people. Every night before we went out, we'd have a 1-hour prayer meeting. We knew it was not by our might or by our power. It was by God's Spirit. And we had to clear the air and get rid of every distraction and welcome the Holy Ghost anointing to be with us as we went out that night. And we had a prayer room. It was in the basement of a former radio station. And that had been the president's office. And it had shag carpet. Anybody know what that is? And it had shag carpet. And we were in there and we were praying up a storm. And we didn't pray like, Lord, we just want to thank you. And we, God, you got to help us tonight. You know, all at the same time, God understands it all. I mean, he's not nervous. And so, but we were praying and we finished our prayer meeting. And I walked out and there was four guys sitting on a table, around a table there. And one of them said something blasphemous and said something, foolish. Said something like, oh, here comes the Holy Joe or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he said. But a spirit came upon me. I don't think it was the flesh. I wouldn't have said this in my natural being. But I said, I don't know what it's going to take for you guys to turn to the Lord. One of you may have to die. Well, the word got out on the street that Joe Foss said somebody's going to die. Friday night, there was a car accident, and one of them died. Another one came and repented and came to the Lord and became one of our staff at Teen Challenge. You see, to one, it was foolishness. They were perishing. But to those who were being saved, it is the power of God. And so one saw the truth. One rejected. One thought it was crazy and foolish. I think about the man in Israel that said, I was against Yeshua. I knew that that was not the Messiah one day. And said, then when the revelation came, I was as strong the next day for Yeshua the Messiah than I was against him the day before. Isn't that what happened to all of us? Isn't that what happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? Foolishness to those who are perishing. And Paul wrote that, so he knew. But those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yes, I believe that we are saved when we accept the Lord and it's a salvation. But he says being saved. It's continual that we continue to walk with the Lord and we continue. That great salvation will be around the marriage supper of the Lamb, where it's 1,500 mile long table, someone told me. And God says, Abraham, would you ask the blessing? I mean, it's going to be there. We're being saved for that time. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You see, when we came out of that prayer meeting, well, we had the fragrance of God upon us. And so it offended those people. Sometimes people need an offense. Even we sometimes need to have our flesh offended that our spirit might be revealed. To the one, the Savior was so close, but he thought it was foolishness. To the other, his eyes were opened and he had the fear of God that brought immediate fear of God, belief, and repentance. One was hardened to the last. My message, is it ever too late or never too late? But it was too late for him. It was too late for him. Does it ever occur to you when you see the news and you see people killed like down around Goliad, Texas? Illegals, I think, in a van. And how many? 14 died at one time. Hell has enlarged itself to receive the people that are going there. Too late. Both reviled Jesus, but one softened at last with his heart wonderfully changed. Observe his humility in his prayer. All his request was, Lord, remember me. He does not pray, Lord, get me out of this. He doesn't pray, Lord, prefer me. Do something for me. He just says, Lord, remember me. He knew he was dying. Lord, remember me. Dost thou not fear God? He said. When he was just ready to fall into the hands of Satan, he was snatched as a brand out of the burning, and it made a monument of divine mercy and grace. You see, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. We don't have much of that today. In the church at large, in the easy believism, in the say this prayer, say this sinner's prayer, say these words. If we're leaving out godly repentance, we're leaving out the main thing. It's not going to work without godly repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of this world produces death. Godly sorrow produces repentance and reformation and will end in salvation, but worldly sorrow works death. The sorrow of this world is, sorry, I got caught, or sorry, I'm locked up, or sorry that I feel bad, or sorry that I'm offended, or sorry that I got hurt. I'm sorry. You know, it's easy to say, lo siento, I'm sorry. But godly sorrow works repentance. My late friend, Brother Leonard Ravenhill, said, some people come to the altar to forgive themselves. They get up, they feel better, but they're not changed. They feel a little guilt removed, but it's not really removed. My late friend David Wilkerson said, repentance means more than saying, Lord, I am wrong. It also means saying, Lord, you are right. You'll never get away from the Word of God. This is God speaking to us. You can't change it. So many people today, they change their theology, they change their doctrine to meet their behavior. But the Word of God is to convict, to reprove, that we would change our actions. We'd change our actions. I heard about Alexander the Great, a story that said that he went up to one of his soldiers and the soldier was asleep on duty. And he woke him up. He said, soldier, what is your name? He said, Alexander, sir. So his name was Alexander too. He said, change your name or change your conduct. Soldier, change your name or change your behavior. Sometimes we recognize that repentance is an easy word to say. In fact, penitentiary actually comes from the word repentance. True repentance is to see your sin, hate your sin, and turn away from your sin. I used to stop right there. But it also means to turn around and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a church that we're affiliated with in Romania, in Timișoara, Romania. It's called Metanoia. And that's the Greek word for change your mind. Change your mind. I try to pray every day, Lord, I don't want to be conformed to this world, to its systems, to its philosophies, to its traditions, to its ideologies, to its tensions, to its pressures. But I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that we would have a renewed mind, that we would have metanoia, that we would have a change of mind and a change of direction. We look online sometimes for bargains, last-minute airplane fares, last-minute fares. There's last-minute fares. This thief on the cross, he had a last-minute prayer. For the repentant thief, it was not too late. Observe his faith in this prayer, in his confession of sin. He discovered repentance towards God. He wasn't even baptized. He didn't even join the church. He didn't even speak in tongues. But Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Observe his humility and his prayer. Lord, there's fervency in this prayer. He does, as it were, breathe out his soul in it. Lord, remember me. I have had enough. I desire no more. Into thy hands I commit my case. He was saying, I have saving faith in you. I cast it all upon you. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. You put that in your report this week. An example of God. Yes, grace. But this is not an example to wait. We're not giving you advice. Well, just wait at the last minute. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Some people say, well, you know, it says in the scripture that if you don't take the mark, that you know, you won't be condemned. How? If you can't live this life in times as good as it is now, will you ever be able to live during tribulation when the Holy Spirit has come and gone and the presence of the Lord is no more? You think that you'll say, well, I'll just won't take the mark. Now, today is the day of salvation. Is it too late for obedience? It's never too late for obedience, for someone that would obey. I think of the story of Jonah. God said to this man, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Chapter 2, verses 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, in his fish's belly. You say, you left out part. Yes, I did. But you know the story, that they had a storm, and it finally came down that he was asleep in the bottom of the boat, and they threw him out. And so here he was in the fish's belly. And he said, and by the way, that is a true story. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not. Out of the, Jesus called it, out of the belly of the whale I cried and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The floods surround me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. I hear there's mountains down there. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, a repentant heart. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, So the Lord spoke to the fish. Some of you fishermen want him to speak to a fish and say, bite that hook. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. It wasn't too late for obedience. When he decided he would obey, it wasn't too late. It made the fish sick. Backslidden preachers will always make fish sick. He vomited him up. Sorry, Jason. We're not supposed to say that word on Sunday morning before we eat, you know. I heard David Wilkerson preach this message, and he was talking about how the body of Christ won't receive the sinners that come for salvation because the way they look. He said he had weeds wrapped around him. He smelt terrible. He had been in the belly of the whale. But God could still use him. It wasn't too late for him. Now the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, chapter 3, verse 1. The great city, preach it to the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand obedience. He says it, you do it. He says, go. Arise and go. And he arose and went. He went to Nineveh. And he began to preach. He began to obey the Lord. It's never too late for your obedience. You may have been living in disobedience, but God wants to call you to obedience this morning. So the message is to the lost. The message is to those that are being saved. Those that are needing to hear that one more time. That message that says, arise and go. So we rise up and we go. And they say about it, he arose and he went. I believe also there's a message here today for believers that God is wanting to use, not abuse, but allow to be his hands and feet extended into foreign lands, homelands, everywhere, jobs, schools, universities, hospitals, everywhere, to be used for the Lord. Is it too late for you, I ask? Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like to a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So the third hour, he goes and he finds others that are idle in the marketplace. And he says to them, you also go to the vineyard. I don't want you to be idle. I don't want you to be useless. I want you to have purpose in life. That's Joe added. And is it, whatever's right, I'll give you. So they went. The sixth and the ninth, he did likewise. The 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They might have said, it's too late for us. It's too late for me. My message to you today, it's not too late. He said, yes, it's 11th hour, but there's still room for you. I love the cross. There is room at the cross for you. I love that song. There is room at the cross for you. And he said, go, and whatever's right, you will receive. Evening came. He paid them all the same thing. There were some jealous people. There were some people saying it's not fair. There were some people saying, God can't use you. Not after what you've done. Not after where you've been. God can't use you. You know, we won't give you credentials. We won't allow you to preach. Look what you did. Look who you were. I shared Wednesday night, but such were some of you. But you are bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. You're bought with a price. So glorify God with your body, soul, and your spirit because you're bought with a price. And so he came and he gave them the same thing. And even at that 11th hour, it was not too late for them. There's a similar story and one that you all know. I won't read all the scriptures, but it's the prodigal son story. And there's a principle here in this story of the prodigal son and the prodigal brother and the loving father. Two sons, one messed up, rebellious, wanted to go out and try his wings in the world, thought he knew everything, went out, and he wasted his father's inheritance. And he was there, and finally, money was gone. Friends were gone. We did a drama one time about a guy getting out of prison. And in the drama, the guy gets out and says, "Hey, you told me you'd write me. You told me you'd visit me. Where were you?" And he said, "I forgot you. I forgot, you know." But that's it, you know, is that that those friends were gone. His money was gone. He ended up like a hog in a hog pen. But there, like the thief on the cross, he said, "I know my Father. I know I'll be willing to be one of his hired slaves and servants. I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Make me one of your hired servants.'" The beautiful part of the story is this, is that the Father was looking up that road every day. He was looking at that road every day and he was saying, "My boy's coming home. My boy's coming home." Life Song has got a song out that it says, "Daddy, Daddy, can I come home? Daddy, Daddy, can I come home?" You see, the Father's love was there. And of course, the prodigal brother began to say, why would you do this? Why would you make merry for him?" And his father said, "It's right that I should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." It was not too late for him. I believe it was too late for the elder brother. There's nothing in the scripture that tells us that anything changed. You see, he had the same spirit as Luke 18, verse 11, when the Pharisee stood and prayed, said, "God, I thank you I'm not like other men. They're extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector, this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes on all that I possess." That's a good thing to do, but that won't get you there. "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven. This poor publican beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, because I am a sinner.'" Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He had godly sorrow that worked repentance, and Jesus said he went home justified. There was salvation in his house. The other religious man was like the prodigal brother that was only complaining. They were just complaining. The other workers were complainers. The 11th hour worker, it was not too late. The repentant prodigal son, it was not too late. The unrepentant thief, it was too late. He missed the train. He missed the boat. He missed heaven, but he did not miss hell. Would you come? Lori. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see the heart of the Father there. What does he desire? He desires metanoia. He desires change of mind. He desires change. He desires that we would get saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, si estás aquí hoy no tiene la salvación del Señor. La Escritura dice, si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel y justo para perdonar nuestros pecados y limpiarnos de toda maldad. It says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the call to you this morning. That's the call to you today. But I want to speak to another group also. Maybe you're at a point in your life where that you're looking back and you say, "I didn't do it. I missed the train. I missed the boat. God had told me to do something. I didn't do it. I didn't obey. I was like Jonah." Maybe you feel that you're in the belly of the whale this morning. And God is wanting to say, "I'm still calling you. His mercy endures forever. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And God wants to say, "It's not too late. It's never too late. You can make it. You can do what God wants for your life. You can say yes to the Lord. You can get some training. You can go to the ministry field. You can go to the mission field. You can do what God has told you to do. Our whole 42 plus years of ministry has been to tell people there is hope for your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Get up and go again and let the Lord bring you into His kingdom. It's not too late. God will allow you to be there. Our dear brother, sister Sluter here, in their years that he doesn't even feel like that anymore. You see, he's recalculating that he's 50 again, and he's just going right on. But they go to restaurants, and God opens doors for them to lead people to the Lord at the next table and encourage them. You see, there is something. The song says, surely there's a work that I can do. Surely there's a work that I can do. Brother Jason spoke a couple of Sundays ago about how that there are slots everywhere that need to be filled. Melody Green, after Keith Green's death, went on around the world tour, and she said everywhere she went, she saw slots that needed to be filled. She saw vacancies that were there. Charlotte and I were just in Reynosa this week, and we're lacking orphanage workers. And Brother Julio said to me, you know, you said to all of our Spanish churches, this is your orphanage. These are your orphanages. Would you send us members, couples that would come in and live for a year and take care of children? He said, we haven't got one couple. We haven't got one peso from any of those churches. You see, we need to realize to pray to the Lord of the harvest. I told him, I said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. He'd send forth laborers into the harvest field. And it's not too late. And I'm going to speak to those churches again in November when I go to the conference in Mexico. It's not too late to obey the Lord. It's not too late to say, God, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Don't be too late this morning. Would you stand? As we sing, I'm going to pray for you, and the altar is open. If you feel that you want to do business with God, you can do it back there, but this is kind of a place that we've proclaimed as an altar, a place where that God speaks to you and you speak to God. It's a place of humility where that you kneel before the Lord, your maker. Oh God, this morning I pray, I've delivered my soul, and I pray, God, that you would. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the outreaches that are going on and for those that are involved. But Lord, we all need to be open more and more to your voice. We need to be open more and more, oh God, to what you would say to us and how that we would get right with you. That we would not walk in sin. We would always be ready to repent, to be humble before you, to accept you, Lord, as our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you want to receive the Lord, come forward. Some people will lead you to Jesus today. Si está aquí hoy, alguien puede seguirte para dirigirte para a la cruz del Calvario aquí en este altar. Lord Jesus, we pray for those that are here this morning. Lord, a multitude that you're saying, I need people in my vineyard. It may be the third hour, the sixth hour. It may be the 11th hour. But, oh Lord, we pray that you'd raise up an army for you. You'd raise up, God, soldados para Cristo. That you'd raise up people, Lord, you'd bring people forth. That we would be a marching army, not idle workers, but a marching army. Lord, we pray today that we would be like the prodigal son and we'd come running to the Father. We would not be like the prodigal brother that complained or the workers that complained, but Lord, that we would be the body of Christ. Here we are in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.